You know what tripped me up more than anything during my training? It wasn't steep turns, it wasn't crosswind landings, it was trying to figure out what night actually means. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, right here on Radio Hangar, and today we are going to untangle one of the most confusing little corners of the Federal Aviation Regulations. Because here's the thing, the FAA doesn't have one definition of night, they have three, and each one applies in a different context. Mix them up, and you could be flying illegal without even knowing it. Let me set the scene first. You passed your private check ride a few months ago. A buddy calls you up on a Friday evening in October, wants to fly over to a nearby airport for dinner. Sun went down about 45 minutes ago. You think, yeah, I've done some night flying recently, I'm good, but are you? That depends on which version of night we're talking about, and whether you're actually current to carry that passenger. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter, aviationsoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together, because once you see how the three definitions work, it actually makes sense. It's just that nobody lays them all out side by side for you. Definition number one. This is the one in FAR 1.1, the general definition section. Night means the time between the end of evening civil twilight and the beginning of morning civil twilight. That's the moment when the center of the sun is 6 degrees below the horizon. In practical terms, it's roughly 30 minutes after sunset and 30 minutes before sunrise, though it varies by your latitude and time of year. This definition matters for things like when you need position lights on your aircraft. FAR 91.209 says you need lighted position lights from sunset to sunrise, but the logging definition of night, which we'll get to in a second, uses civil twilight, so there's already a gap right there. Between sunset and the end of civil twilight, you need your position lights on, but you're not technically flying at night for logging purposes. Hang with me. This is where it starts to get interesting. Definition number two. This is the one that governs your night currency to carry passengers, and it lives in FAR 61.57 paragraph B. And this one is different from the other two. To be current to carry passengers at night, you need three takeoffs and three landings to a full stop in the preceding 90 days. But the time period for this requirement is not sunset to sunrise, and it's not civil twilight to civil twilight. It's 1 hour after sunset to 1 hour before sunrise. Let that sink in for a second. 1 hour after sunset, that's a narrower window than either of the other definitions. The FAA is essentially saying, look, that dusk period right after sunset, you don't need special night currency for that. But once it gets truly dark, 1 hour after sunset, now you need to have made those three full stop landings recently. So, back to our Friday dinner scenario. If the sun set 45 minutes ago, you're in that gray zone. It might be after civil twilight, which means you're technically flying at night for logging purposes, but you haven't hit the 1 hour after sunset mark yet. So, even if your night currency has lapsed, you could legally carry your buddy right now, as long as you land before that 1 hour mark. That's a nuance a lot of pilots miss, and honestly, I wouldn't plan a flight around that razor-thin window. But it's important to understand why the rules work the way they do. Definition number three, this is the one for logging night flight time, and you find it in FAR 61.51, paragraph B. For the purpose of logging flight time at night, night is defined as that civil twilight window from FAR 1.1. End of evening civil twilight to the beginning of morning civil twilight. So to recap, position lights required from sunset to sunrise. That's the broadest window. Night flight time for your logbook starts at the end of evening civil twilight, roughly 30 minutes after sunset. Night passenger currency kicks in 1 hour after sunset, three different start times, and they're all called night by the FAA. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Make yourself a little chart, three rows, sunset, civil twilight 1 hour after sunset. Write down what each one triggers, position lights, logging night time, passenger currency, stick it in your kneeboard. Because I promise you, if you ask 10 private pilots when night starts, you'll get 10 different answers, and most of them will only be partially right. Now, let's talk about those three takeoffs and landings for night currency, because there are details in there that matter too. They have to be to a full stop. Touch and goes don't count for night passenger currency. During the day, you can do touch and goes for your regular landing currency under 61.57 paragraph A, but paragraph B, the night version, specifically says full stop. The FAA wants you to have practiced the complete landing sequence in the dark. Roll out, taxiing, the whole thing. And here's another detail. Those landings need to be in the same category and class of aircraft you're going to carry passengers in. So if you fly both a Cessna 172 and a Piper Cherokee, and you did your three-night landings in the Cherokee, you're only night current in single-engine land airplanes. Both of those are single-engine land, so you'd be covered for either one. But if you somehow did your night landings in a multi-engine airplane and then wanted to take a passenger in your single-engine airplane at night, you're not current for that. Also, if you fly a tailwheel airplane, here's a wrinkle. FAR 61.31 paragraph I requires a specific tailwheel endorsement, and the general landing currency under 61.57 requires your landings be in a tailwheel airplane to be current in tailwheel airplanes. So if you're doing night ops in a tail dragger with a passenger, make sure your recent full stop landings were also in a tailwheel airplane. Let's talk about the practical side of this. How do you stay on top of your night currency without it becoming a burden? Because here's the reality. If you're not flying at night regularly, those 90 days go by fast. My suggestion is to build night currency into your routine. Every couple of months, go out and shoot a few landings after dark. Don't wait until someone invites you to fly at night and then scramble to figure out if you're current, and when you log those landings, be precise. Write down the date, the time, and note that they were full stop landings at night. If you ever need to prove currency, your logbook is your evidence. The examiner is looking for pilots who can demonstrate they track their currency accurately. And on a check ride, you might be asked to look at a scenario and determine whether the pilot in the scenario is legal to fly. Here's a scenario I like to use with my students. You're a private pilot. You did 3 full stop night landings on January 15th. Your buddy wants you to fly him to a fly-in breakfast on April 16th, departing at 5:30 in the morning. Sunrise is at 6:45. Is the flight legal? Think about it. 90 days from January 15th takes you to April 15th. So on April 16th, your night currency has expired. But your departure is at 5:30 a.m. 1 hour before sunrise at 6:45 is 5:45 a.m. So between 5:30 and 5:45, you're technically outside the night currency window. You could depart with your passenger during that 15-minute window and be legal. But should you? That's where aeronautical decision-making comes in. 15 minutes of legal twilight is not a great margin. What if your departure is delayed? What if the flight takes longer than expected and now you're flying in the dark on the other end without currency? The regulations give you a minimum standard. Good judgment asks you to exceed it. And that's really the bigger lesson here. Understanding these 3 definitions of night isn't just about passing a check ride or staying on the right side of a ramp check. It's about understanding that the transition from day to night flying involves real changes in risk. Your depth perception decreases, visual references get harder to find, spatial disorientation becomes more likely. The FAA carved out these specific rules because night flying demands more from you as a pilot. Respect that. One more thing before we wrap up. If you're a student pilot, you need a specific endorsement from your instructor to fly solo at night. And for your private pilot certificate, you need 3 hours of night flight training that includes a cross-country flight of over 100 nautical miles total distance and 10 takeoffs and 10 full-stop landings at an airport with an operating control tower. Those are minimums from FAR 61.109. Your instructor might require more, and frankly, more is better. If you want to dig deeper into this, grab a copy of FAR 61.57 and read paragraphs A and B side by side. The Aviation Regulatory Council's website also has some excellent interpretations, and the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge Chapter 14 covers night operations well. Everything I talked about today comes straight from Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations, Parts 161 and 91. Check out radiohanger.com for more training segments just like this one. I'm Pattern, and remember, knowing the rules is the easy part. The real skill is knowing when the rules aren't enough. Fly safe out there.